as we celebrate our mothers, as we celebrate mothers everywhere, I want to share something with all of us that I think really does help highlight for us why mothers are so special and why they have the place that they have in our hearts. I always, when I get to a day like this, think about how many men, no matter how big they are and how strong they may be, celebrate mama above all else. And I think about those big burly men who are always on the sidelines of a football game, and when they score a big touchdown or make a big play on defense and they know the camera is behind them, they always look over their shoulder and say, "Hi, mom," or "Mom, that's for you." And I know that there's a daddy somewhere who was in the backyard throwing a football and making his way to practice and saying, "But what about me? You know, was I not there as well?" Mothers hold a very special place in our lives, and they ought to. I want us to go this morning for our scripture that's really going to lead and guide all of us. This is going to be a rather unique story to lift up on Mother's Day, but as I contemplated how I was going to approach our celebration of motherhood, and even beyond that, our celebration of womanhood this morning, it really kept driving me back to this, because there's something about the woman who is talked about, whose story we get to eavesdrop on in this text. There's something about her that I think not only the ladies in here can celebrate, but I believe the men can as well. I believe that going beyond celebrating it, I believe that we all can learn something about how we ought to be, not just as parents, but our insight and outlook on life as well. So I'm going to read for a minute, because I really want you to get this entire story in your heart so you can understand a bit more when I lift up these points for us this morning, just where I'm coming from. So I want to begin at verse number one, chapter number one of the book of 1 Samuel, history of Israel. And it says, beginning at verse one, chapter number one, "There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up every year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?' After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head.' As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, 'How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you.' But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way, ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Then Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." I want to keep on reading. Verse 21, "Then the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever.' Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word.' So the woman remained and nursed him until he was weaned. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, verse 26, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Now, I felt it needful to read chapter 1 in its entirety, because I really want us this morning to have a very clear and strong picture of who this woman Hannah was. I wanted us to have an understanding of the life she lived, this mother of this great prophet of Israel. I wanted us to know who she was and what she had been through. So it begins in chapter number 1, telling us at verse number 1 that she is the wife or one of the wives of this man named Elkanah. And it also lets us know that God has not at this point in her life shown her the favor that as a woman who is married she desired to receive. She has no children, and she's going through some difficulty because of it. In fact, it tells us that the other wife, Peninnah, the one who has multiple children, sons and daughters, that she provokes her each and every opportunity that she gets. Let me make it plain to you. She talks about her bad. She makes her feel less than who she is because she does not have the same thing in the way of being a mother of children by birth that she is. She tells her that she cannot do the very things for her husband, I believe, that she could. And so it says that her husband blesses her with a double portion every opportunity that he gets. And he tries to comfort and soothe her with the words, saying, "Look at the way I take care of you. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And so then we find ourselves with this woman, as would be their custom each and every year, to go up to the temple for one of the holy feasts of Israel. And she finds herself there at the temple praying her heart out to God. And the prophet, the priest Eli, sees her and believes that she's a drunk woman. And she says, "I'm not drunk, I'm just praying. I'm not drunk, I'm just believing that my Lord will hear me, and I pray that if you have favor upon me and I have found favor in your sight, that you also will bless me." To make a long story short and a short story even shorter, it goes on to say that Eli says to her, "May the Lord do to you as you have asked," and then we find that this woman is with child. Now, I'm going to stop for a moment from the text, and I'm going to give you a bit of what I perceived as I read this, because right there I began to say, I'm going to tell you, mothers are special. Because this is a woman who has been wrestling with this other wife for some time. She's been praying for this child from God. And I know that I'm not the only person in here who's had opportunity at some point in my life to actually be praying, God, show up in this place in my life. There's some things that I've been desirous of for some time. And God, you know my heart. And I believe that there might even be a few among us who have actually said, God, if you will give it to me, I'll give it back to you immediately. And then the time comes for us to actually do that. I can only imagine what's going on in the heart of this woman as God has blessed her with this child. We don't get to hear any more about whether or not God blessed Hannah with any other children, but we know he blessed her with Samuel. And here she is right now at this point where she has to say, God, you've done what I asked. Now it's time for me to do what I've said. At 50 plus years old, I am still amazed at the faith of my mother. Of her ability to see things about me and in me, her ability to know things about her children and the situations that they might find themselves in that make me still say, I never told you anything about that, and yet you still know. Amen, somebody. Your mama know your business even when you ain't told your mama your business. Hannah gets to this place, and I had to marvel at her ability to, after all she had been through, to still say that it's more important for me to keep the word that I have made to the Lord than to go with what I feel for myself. That's the special thing about mothers. So I want to lift up some stuff this morning. It's going to be just four simple things that when I look at the story of Hannah and when I think about all the mamas that I've been blessed to know, those women who I've watched mother not only their children but to mother the children of others, those who have been auntie and mama at the same time, those who have been grandmas and mamas at the same time, those who have just been close friends that you actually thought were raising you, the godmothers that have been mothers to us, I believe that they all have inherent in them. Listen, I recognize that God created us all, both male and female. He created us in his image. So every time I think about some of the attributes that mamas have that daddies don't, I recognize that what we are seeing in them is a glimpse of God. And what he expects us to understand about him, because mothers are who they are. So when I look at this story about Hannah, this woman who had had to this point a rough life, when I think about what it is she knew, I need us to understand in the same way that she did why it's important that mamas know who God is. First point. Hannah understood that children are a gift from God. Amen. Believe it or not, I believe that the further along our culture gets, the more we lose sight of that fact. We don't any longer, I believe, that every child, hear me, every child, regardless of the circumstances of their birth, every child is a gift from God. One that ought to be cherished not just by mother and father, but by society as a whole. And so this woman who had no children of her own, who had to pour out her heart on the steps of the temple before God and was finally blessed with a child, there's no doubt in my mind that there was nothing that could persuade her that this was not a gift from God himself. God, you knew what my state was, and I asked you for this, and now here I am after pouring out my soul before you, recognizing that these children are a gift. Now, my kids aren't in here at the moment, but I'm sure that they can hear my voice wherever they are. I'm a daddy, not just a father. I'm a daddy who loves my children. Y'all don't understand. I would give everything I have for either one of my children. The one with the braids and my daughter. I'm still not over that yet, y'all. I'm getting there. But what I do know is that as much as I love both of my children, and as much as I would give everything that I am and everything that I have, I can't outdo my wife, their mother. She's remarkable to me. She's remarkable in her selflessness toward them. And remember, I just said, as it pertains to my children, I am selfless, or at least I thought I was. But there are moments when I look at things and I say to myself, yeah, but you know what, though? I got to do something for my wife, and my kids going to be all right. Every now and again, Sister Kim, I got to say, it just needs to be me and Boo right now. Real talk. I know there are other husbands in there. Y'all ought to say amen right there. Amen. Boo, can we leave them home on this cruise? No, I think the whole family needs to be together. We really need to. Boo, how about we go away this weekend? Oh, that's good, because all of us can go. I'm not talking about all of us. Even now, he almost 19 and she 22. Can they do their thing and we? It's something about the way a mother feels at all times about their children. And I heard Pastor Doris as she was praying here at the altar, and she was talking about mothers, whether you had given birth to children or not. She was celebrating what it means to be a woman who has the capacity to nurture in that sense. But let me say this to you. I believe that giving birth to children actually changes you. And I mean more than physically. I mean that your outlook on those little people that actually grew inside of you and changed the way you see everything actually changed your life. Because I remember the woman that my wife was prior to us having children. And I remember exactly what she said about children. It's all right if I tell the truth. My wife said to me, because I wanted kids. Like, I was probably in kindergarten and wanted kids. You know what I mean? It was just like, she said to me, we were in college and dating and thinking about getting married. And she had told me she didn't want any children. She had too much to accomplish for that to get in the way. And I said, well, you know, family's a big thing. I come from a big family. I want children. I'll never forget. I don't know if it was before we got married or right after. And you looked at me and you said, I'll give you one. Now, y'all need to hear what she said. I will give you one. So I got this picture in my mind of, you know, we are in the birthing center and Rolanda is born. And she said, there you go. Right? Like, that's yours. I've done my part and I'm out. And I'll never forget when Rolanda was born and it was this transformation. I'm talking about in a moment, in the twinkling of eyes. Brothers, if you don't do anything else in your life, make sure you are right there when your children are born, because that is a miracle from God. And the transformation that happens in your wife in that moment is likewise. I watched this woman who said, I was going to give you one, say to me, follow my child around the hospital, wherever they go. This was the time when they were kidnapping babies in the hospital, right? She said, boo, go with her. I said, they just taken her. She said, follow that baby wherever she goes in the hospital. Because she is mine. And to watch her look at her, she got sent a picture this morning, she being my wife, from one of her best friends, was a maid of honor in our wedding. She got sent a picture today of when this friend came to the hospital the day Rolanda was born. And it's a picture of her, of Doris, holding Rolanda right after she was born. And the look on her face just made me know she sees this child as a gift. Now, we miss that because it's that part right there that makes a mother do whatever she has to do to ensure that her children are always taken care of. It's that right there that makes a mother stand between her children and any danger that may arise. This woman, Hannah, had been through some stuff. And it made me think about all of the things that women who experience motherhood have before they became mothers and after they become mothers have and have to endure and experience. And they do it all without complaint. They do it all without wavering because they recognize their children to be gifts from God. Number two, lest I move on and make this all about my wife. Point number two, God controls, Hannah understood this, God controls the events of our children's lives. Now, this is important. This is important because these are the things that make your mama keep praying for you. It's this truth right here that regardless of how old you are, your mother understands that as crazy as you can be, all I need do is pray because God's in control. Can I say this in church on Sunday morning? I can whip you as much as I desire. I can take some things from you. But God ultimately is in control. Anybody in here have a mama or a grandmama that you watched pray? And you can remember seeing her pray? And you actually, even though your father might have been a godly man, it's the prayer of your mother that you remember? Or your grandmama who said that I'm praying for you, and somehow you actually knew that if grandmama said she was praying for you, it was going to be all right. Because if could nobody talk to God, you knew grandmama had him on speed dial. When I think about the text, this woman who had such difficulty conceiving a child to the point that she said, I need lay my entire life, situation, and circumstances at the altar and see if God will hear me. God hears her, God answers her prayer, and then she, recognizing who God is and recognizing the importance of his role in all of our lives, she says, I am willing to understand and submit to the truth that God will ultimately control all the events in the life of my son. Now, this is the verse. I need you to understand that when we talk about bringing our children to the altar to dedicate them back to the Lord, there are two places in Scripture that we go. In the Old Testament, we go here and we talk about this woman who had all of these issues trying to become a mother naturally. And when God showed up, she said, God, if you will bless me with a child, I will allow you to control everything else about his life. In other words, I will bring him and give him back to you. And he'll dwell before you forever. One of the things that I love about not only what I've watched the women I recognize as mothers become, but my own mother and my wife as well, is that they believe fully that it is God who is in control of their children's lives. So when your child comes and says to you, listen, I know you wanted me to be a doctor. I know you wanted me to be an engineer, but I want to be an artist. You say, baby, that's wonderful, because God's in control. Remember that video that we just saw? No matter what your child brings to you, it looks like a masterpiece. No matter what they say they're going to do, you look at it and say, you can do all things. Because mothers have the innate ability to recognize that God is in control of the events of our children's lives. I know daddies who have given up children to the events of life to say, listen, sometimes you just got to learn the way you got to learn. I'm going to tell a real quick story. Say, help him, Lord. I'm going to tell a real quick story about that very thing in my life. I was sharing this with a cousin of mine this past week as we were talking about our mutual alma mater, Hampton University. And I said, you know, I went to Hampton as a freshman scholar. I was an honor student when I went to Hampton. And I lost my mind. My parents were proud that their son, who had decided he was going to be lazy from about the 7th grade through the 12th grade, had actually gotten accepted and was an honor student. Well, I was an architecture major, and at the end of my first semester as an architecture major at Hampton University, I'm going to give you all a number that I will never forget. It is actually seared into my consciousness. My wife is shaking her head already. My GPA is an architecture major because I loved the soap operas and the parties more than going to class. My GPA was a 1.076. We'll never forget those four numbers. It was above a 1, though, because it was a 1.076. You round that, it was a 1.1. Changed my major after the first semester, realized the error of my ways, but only did marginally better because I wasn't good at managing who I was. So at the end of the second semester of my freshman year of college, as I was home doing me in the summertime, and it intercepted those two grade reports that had come both after the first semester and after the second semester, so my parents had no idea. And when they asked, I said, I don't know. You know, they got lost in the mail, I guess. I got a letter from Dr. Harvey, the president of Hampton University. Very nice letter, very short, though. Basically, it said this: we thought that you could do what it takes to be a Hamptonian. You have shown us in the past year that you cannot. So we respectfully ask that you do not come back to our university in the fall. You have been dismissed. And I'll never forget the tug that was. Fast forward, August comes, every other kid is going back to school. My parents are preparing to take me back to school. And they say, we haven't gotten anything, and I have to come out with this letter and say I'm not able to go back. And I'll never forget my father as he sat across the table from me, tears in his eyes, crying. And I knew I had disappointed him. And my dad said, as anybody who knows my dad would say, you have wasted the last dollar of mine that you will. If you don't ever go back to college, it'll be on your dime. And I was crying, and my mom is sitting there in between the two of us. And I'll never forget, fast forward another year, and I've had to sit out for a year, and I was working. And my dad was firm in, you got to learn this lesson that life is teaching you because of what you did. And my mother on the other side saying, but we know who he is. And we know what he can do. And he deserves another chance. Now, I don't know what they did to get it back, but long story short, I wound up going back to Hampton on their dime and graduating. That's one of the unique things that we have to celebrate about who mothers are. And let me help out the dads who are here. And that's one of the things that we cannot accept when we know it is ultimately in the best interest get in the way of. Because there are places where I look at my children and I say, boo, but they gotta know this. And she says, but honey, what you gotta understand is what I see is this. And there are places where she says, okay, but we're going to go with what you say, but it is always tempered by me saying, but I have to hear what it is you're saying, because you are telling me that ultimately not only do you believe that God is in control of what's going to happen in their lives, but you have been praying specifically for them regarding this. Point number three, following knowing that children are a gift from God and knowing that God is in control, mothers are the ones who know that children are an answer to prayer. If you ever know anybody who has had difficulty conceiving, you understand that whenever some couple is blessed to have a child, that that is God at work, and that child is an answer to prayer. When Samuel showed up, Hannah knew nobody had done this but God. It was me before the Lord petitioning on God's behalf that God would show up in the life of me and my husband and bless me in this way. We celebrate mamas more than daddies because, above all, mamas give glory to the Lord for what he has done in bringing them to this place. Think about this. What would you not do for God? If God opened up for you the avenue to be the conduit, to be the blessing to not just your family, but as many as might be touched. She knew that children are an answer to prayer. I'm going to say this last one, and then we're going to move forward and be done. Not only are children an answer to prayer, but children are, and this is different, children are a gift to God. What was the first one I said? Children are a gift from God. But what we have to understand ultimately, what Hannah got that sometimes we don't, is that children are a gift to God. So this mother, not unlike so many others that we recognize, I'm going to ask another question. This question just popped into my head. How many people growing up went to church more often at the behest or with your mother or a mother figure? Amen. Right? How many people went to church at the behest or with your father or father figure more often than with your mother? Amen. My kids raised their hand. They might want to change that. Amen. How many of you went with both the same amount? Because y'all all went to church every Sunday. Amen. The mothers won. Now, I'm going to tell you, in my household, and my father was a believer, but my dad didn't go to church. Hear me again. My father was a believer, but my dad didn't go to church. So what was the model that I saw? I saw my mom get up on every Sunday morning, and get ready to go to church and get us ready to go to church. And my dad was in the bed. And I grew up resenting. Why, Daddy? Sleep. And I got to go to church. Because what I saw was men sleep on Sunday morning. And your mama and your sister go to church. And let me tell you, and when I got to church, it bore out what I saw. Why? Because the only man I saw was the one in the front. And a little smattering here and there. So I say that to say that more often than not, and understand, I believe that generationally we have changed that. Amen. At least the men who are in here ought to say amen. Unless, of course, you're only here because your wife making you come here. That's another message. Children are a gift to God. I want to read this last piece. I want to start at verse number 21. It says, then the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. Now the child has come. Hannah knows that she has made this pledge to God. But I also want to stop for a moment to let you understand, this is not a baby they're bringing. Let me be clear. This is not a baby they're bringing. I know when we do baby dedication or infant dedication, we have this picture that Hannah brings this infant to the Lord. This is not a baby. In fact, Samuel is probably 3 or 4 years old when he's brought to the temple to begin to live with Eli. First of all, she wants this child to completely be weaned from his mother. Why? Eli is an old man. What is he going to do to take care of a baby? So she brings him. So I say all of that to say that this mother has had this opportunity of 3 years to nurture this child, to be the one who's not only seen him as a gift from God, but she's also been the one who's been able to see that God is in control of all of the events of his life. She's not only been the one to see that he is a gift, that God is in control, but she has been the one who recognizes every day as she has nursed him and taught him and sung to him and prayed for him that this child is an answer to prayer. And what I believe begins to grow inside her all the more is the commitment that every time I look at him and I see that he is a gift, every time I look at him and recognize just how much God is in control, every time I look at him and remember how God answered my prayer, I am all the more committed to do what I said and give him back. Now, the thing that we can all learn from Hannah, whether we're a mother or not, is that when God shows up and does the things that we have been asking for, when God blesses us immensely in the way that we did not believe was going to happen in any other way, but by the power of God, we ought be ready, willing, and sure enough able to say, God, what do you want from me? And so the text says that they go up. And she says to her husband, I'm not going up with you now, but as soon as the child is weaned. And then at some point later, she takes not only the child, but an offering. And she offers the child to God. And it says that he worshiped the Lord there for the rest of his life. I'm going to tell you, I wish I had time to dig into chapter 2 with you. Because chapter 2 begins with this song that this mother sings about how blessed she is by God. About the power of God to turn around the situation that you did not think was going to work out on your behalf or in your favor to the good. And how because of that, we ought always exalt God and never doubt him. Never doubt him. Just last week, I had a conversation with my mother. And I was doubting some stuff. And my mother, 76 years old, talked to me like I was 5. and it was all right. She said some stuff to me that only she can say and made me know that it was going to be all right. That's what we celebrate today. And so whether your mother is here physically or not, that's what we celebrate today. Whether you are a woman who has been blessed by God with this gift from God to be a mother naturally or not, that's what we celebrate today. And what I'm trying to ultimately get across to all of us is that that's not because my mama or your mama or Doris is so good, but it is what God has put in them. So every time a mama prays, we bless the Lord. Every time a mother sees the best in us, we bless the Lord. I used to say to people who would talk about, you know, seeing mothers who just went all in for their kids and just couldn't see who they are, I said, you know, even the worst people in the world, you name the worst person in history, they had a mama. And what I always tell people, I've said it to my children as it pertains to the people that they might have desire to date, although neither of my children is dating. They're both just in their teens and 20s. They got about 15 and 20 years before that happens. Amen to whoever clapped. That was probably a man. I said, if that boy's mama don't trust him, run. If you meet a man whose mother says, why are you with my son? Like looking at you like you crazy, run. Amen. Watch this. Hitler had a mama, right? Ted Bundy had a mama. And I guarantee you, they right until they looked at the pictures and say, that is not my boy. Because mothers always see the best in us. And that's what we celebrate today. How many, I'm going to my mama's house after this just to give her a hug and to sit down with her and remember, because that's what this day is for. It's for every woman who has prayed with us, prayed for us, cared about us, wanted the best for us. Because in so doing, they have not only honored and nurtured us, but they've honored God. Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. And then we're going.